I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What's so great about giving? What is it? Think about that. And I'll tell you, you get these kids back up here and they got the answer. You ask any kid this question and they'll give you the obvious answer. Giving is great because someone gets stuff, and it's usually them. And I remember this really well because when I was a kid, I liked getting anything at all. It didn't matter. The quality or the cost didn't matter. Some of the cheapest stuff was my favorite, while some of the most expensive and thought, felt, and hard worked for gifts weren't. And we all know exactly how this goes because honestly, answer this, what kid doesn't have sword fights with those wrapping paper tubes, you know, before you spend any time with your actual presents? They get involved. There's actual leagues about it now. Anyway, it's incredible. But the point of that is this, value is in the heart of the receiver. That's where it comes from. What a present is worth is a subjective assessment only made by the one who's getting the gift. Unless, of course, somebody leaves the tag on, like my wife apparently loves to do. For some reason, she chronically, it drives me crazy, because she's not perfect either, guys. She chronically forgets to take them off and then spends hours securing them in this gorgeous ribbon-wrapped Fort Knox that makes it a crime for me to get in and check for those tags. So I'm always on duty Christmas morning to spot those forgotten tags and then grab the gift and peel off the price like a ninja. It's a lot of work. But why am I so obsessed? Why am I so worried about it? It's simple, and we all know the reason. Because price tags affect how we feel about what we receive, right? They reveal the value that someone else has assessed before the receiver's heart gets to decide what it's worth to them. And that stinks. We don't like it. Because all givers want real responses from their receivers. Because sincere feelings have to start in our own heart. We know this, for where your treasure, this is how the scripture goes, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice it does not say where someone else's treasure is. It's where yours is. So as children, our heart continues treasuring the gifts that were given year after year until slowly the strangest thing happens. Our attention turns to the giver. All these gifts make us look over there. The more we receive, the more we witness what giving looks like. And you know what? It looks fun. I remember that moment of recognition. I remember recognizing the incredible power that my parents wielded on Christmas. They could create authentic emotions of shock and awe and disbelief and delight. Do you know what it's like to get a Nintendo in 1987? Oh, you can't. It's unbelievable. It's like God parted the clouds himself. It's unbelievable. They were like joy dealers. Right? They could just dish it out like Oprah. You get joy, you get joy, you get joy. And everyone was addicted to what they offered. And because of that appeal, that wow, man, look at that, what they can create. We all want in. We all get a little taste of that. And we kind of want to start doing the giving. And so we do it. Usually starts with like a crummy ornament. No, they're beautiful if the kids are still here. They're beautiful. They're really great. No, but you know, like an ornament that you make at school. And then, you know, it's like, oh, this is great. Really. But it's a great ornament. But then it escalates, right? And then suddenly, all of a sudden, you're 14 years old. And you're pitching in with all your siblings to change dad's life with a brand new lawnmower. I'll never forget the look on his face. It was like, ah, local boy makes good. With each experience, here's what happens. We start to treasure giving a little more and getting a little less. And all of a sudden, one day we see that our getter heart was subtly swapped for a giver's heart. And that's because as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. You can see what's going on in that heart in your life. All the gifts I got me living like a giver. And after becoming a parent, giving my kids way too many gifts, and watching them grow up, I am happy to see the same heart reflected by their lives as they start moving from getter to giver. Not just because I get cooler stuff, which I do, it's awesome, but I'm just happy to see that because it's not just good behavior. Going from getter to giver saves our life. And here's why. You see, we're all born with this heart condition that is going to kill us if it's left untreated. We call it pride. We all know about it. It's the me-first motivation of the flesh that's only familiar with the material world down here. So naturally, it convinces us that gains come from getting and losses come from giving. But we got it backwards. And while we're down here, we got this flesh heart, but the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And hold it right there. Did he just say beyond cure? That's a scary thing because I think we think sometimes, no, I'm getting better. You're beyond cure. Your heart condition is uncurable. Human hearts cannot comprehend how giving leads to living, not loss. And that's because while we're down here experiencing this life, we get stuck on material math. It goes like this: me minus something equals less me. And me no like that. I don't. No heart does down here. And it would take a supernatural heart transplant from an out-of-this-world source to be able to shift our perspective. And so that's why it is awesome. It is such a good thing that God himself promises, I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. And like we said last week, we know where that comes from. Last week, everything that we need to be complete came packaged in Jesus as the first and best Christmas present ever given. So now, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come along with that heart, along with that new heart. The old is gone, the new is here. And Jesus' heart makes it crystal clear where we stand on giving. Because he's the one who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, period. But here's the problem. Our flesh is still fighting to reject his heart transplant. We don't like it. So it takes so much effort to sustain it as we adapt to its new desires. It's so hard. See, I know exactly how you feel. That's what it's like. Nonstop. I'm still going through it. This is how it is. But we have to adapt to its new desires. And that means that we actually have to learn why we believe what our new heart believes. You know, Jesus comes in here and wrecks everything, and we have to get behind him. We have to understand why we believe it's better to give than to receive. But I'll tell you what, here's the problem with that. Teaching anyone anything is an uphill battle. All the teachers in the room know that. All the parents in the room know that one, right? And that is because the student is not above the teacher. The student is not above the teacher, and assuming the inferior role of student has always been an unwelcome attack on our ego. In fact, believing that we know best is such a prideful problem, it's what got us kicked out of paradise back at the beginning. So the question becomes this: what's God going to do? What does God do with us stubborn students? How can he get us to learn the lesson that we need to live when we don't want any input at all? And this is where, boy, it took me years of searching to sort of figure this out. And I'm going to say it in a really terrible way. Here's how he does it. He tricks us. He tricks us like a holy Tom Sawyer. Oh, I can't believe it, but it works. Remember how Tom Sawyer tricked his buddy Ben into painting Aunt Polly's fence for him? No, because nobody reads books anymore, apparently. You do. Bruce does. Bruce was forced to read books back in the 40s. But you knew Twain, didn't you? You and Mark Twain went to school together. No, I kid. Back then, anyway, Tom Sawyer convinces his buddy Ben that there is no greater pleasure or privilege than painting this fence. Oh, man, if only you knew how great it was to paint this fence. No, I'm going to be doing it all. Thank you very much. Well, maybe if you gave me your apple, I might let you paint a little of the fence. And by the end of the day, every boy who passed by wound up giving something to Tom for the honor of doing his chore for him. Oh, clever. I modeled my life after him, after I heard that story. That is beautiful. And it's because of this. Tom knew what God knows. Making something desirable inspires our action. That's how you get us to do anything. The same way that Tom hid doing chores behind our desire for pleasure, here's what happens. God hides learning lessons behind our desire for power. Back when I was a kid on Christmas, the most attractive part of giving was the power that my parents wielded as these gatekeepers of joy. I mean, that was just such an incredible power. You could just control the entire room, put joy in the room. But in pursuing that power, my selfish heart was tricked into saving up all of my hard-earned money to practice selflessly giving it away. Well done, God. Ain't that just poetic? How God exploits our selfish heart to accomplish selfless deeds. He's got a way. He'll find a way. He's God. Because just like that, in that moment, we find ourselves learning what giving is all about. Because regardless of how we got there, every time we give, we feel what it is like to live with God's heart in our lives. And when you do, you all know this. It's not the power or the control that ends up making it so attractive. It's the real responses from the receivers. It's the feeling of a caring connection that was just made. It's the relationship. It's what we call love, right there. And it's a very special kind of love. It's that special love that we only learn from a position of power. The kind that's not forced or coerced. It doesn't come from a place of obligation. This is the kind of love that only comes from the heart as a choice. So yeah, God wants us giving because that right there is when his heart starts beating in our chest. He doesn't care how we get there. He just wants us to get a taste. And we can see his desire for this development in Scripture. This is what he's going to figure out a way to get that feeling into our lives. Like when he says this, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. I think we forget that all the time. The whole Old Testament is where we got it wrong. He wants actions of the heart, not offerings of obligation. And here's why. Let's be completely clear about this. God doesn't need anything from us, okay? So if he ever asks for something, giving it is for our benefit, not his. All right? Remember that. You're not helping God out ever. It's so that we can learn something. And giving sacrifices, like in those Old Testament, same way that we do with kids sometimes. We just walk them through something and say, you got to do it. Giving sacrifices from a position of obligation is good practice to prepare a child's heart. But mercy means we've begun living with our new heart. Mercy means it's in there. It's pumping. It means we're giving because we want to, not because we have to. And that's what it's all about. That's priority number one for Jesus. Like he said, I mean, you remember this story? He said, hey, if you're offering your gift at the altar, right? Great. If you're offering your gift at the altar and you're there, and then you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Stop right there first. Go and be reconciled to them. And then come and offer your gift. That's what he wants, because Jesus knows the more we give things like mercy freely from the heart, the more we'll learn about real love. And the more that we learn about real love, the more we'll share in his heart. It'll start pumping in our chest. Which is why also, you remember the story of the rich young ruler? When the rich young ruler comes to him and says, what do I got to do, Lord? I followed all the obligations of the law. I am great. I'm nailing it. And Jesus answered, okay, well, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. Sell them all and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. Oh, that's a big then, because there's an order of operations. You get that? Getting gifts leads us to giving gifts, right? Inspires us. And then giving gifts leads us to getting God's heart. We get that glimpse of what it's like, what we're doing, why he does it. And as we understand and appreciate the value of his heart, We are again inspired to imitate. As our attention turns to the ultimate giver, all of a sudden we want to be like him. That is an unbelievable power that he wields. And he knows it, which is why we're encouraged in Scripture. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And then in turn, walk in that way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And right there, did you catch it? Right there, things change. Because right there, in that moment, we just saw the tag left on God's gift. He gave himself. Because giving us his heart and his love cost him his life on purpose. He packed all of his infinite presence and power into a single vulnerable human body just so that we would see that a relationship, the relationship that he wants with us, was worth more than everything in existence. Because he wanted his gift to teach us something. He wanted to teach us that value is indeed in the heart of the receiver. And here's why. Because only love gives things value. You know that. You know that. Love gives things value. It keeps them around. It's why that same sweater is still in your life after all these years, because of your love. It maintains, it holds things together. His love keeps us in his world. And he gave up all other material value just to prove this point to us, to drive it home, which meant that he couldn't come as a blazing fire the way that he did with Moses, right? And all that power and glory, nor could he come as a mighty whirlwind that Job saw, or the earth-quaking thunder that shook David. Rather, he made himself nothing. Right, this is the God of the universe, infinite power, made himself nothing. Why? Made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, just like us, just like every other human, so that us mere humans could actually say truthfully, to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Because everything that he was, right there, everything that he was now in our hands and under our control. And when we see the God of the universe is willing to lose all of his material value, all of it, all material value that ever existed, just to come here and save us, we all get a glimpse of love's ultimate power, unbelievable, life-saving power. And that right there makes it our ultimate desire. You just got to be looking. Because this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You. It happened right there. And seeing love's life-saving power, even after loss of life, that's how powerful it is. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Why wouldn't you? Look at what it can do. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple. So if you've received his son, you should be merciful, just as your father is merciful, because that's what he's prompting you to get. He's given you this gift so that you'll give that gift. Be merciful just as your father. That's part of receiving God's heart. And therefore, I urge you all, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Because as we learned before, the student is not above the teacher. But let's finish that thought. Everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Whoa. Because as we give, God gets us to not only learn about his heart, but slowly swap it out for his. So here's what I'm asking you this season. Take the bait. Take that bait. Surrender yourself like he did and just see what happens. Call his bluff, you know? Start painting that fence. Just see what happens. Because if God can entice us to just try wielding the ultimate power of ultimate giving, here's what he guarantees. We're going to learn the lesson that saves our life. And here it is. Love conquers all. Even the grave. I mean, all. Love conquers all. It sustains all. It is all. Because God is love. Get that. Remember that. Be that. Be transformed by that. Understand that God is love, and by giving himself fully, completely to us, the infinite value of his infinite love gave us infinite life. Wow. That's a Christmas present. So now the question is this. This is now you've seen it. You've been given. You've received it. Question is this. Do you want to be like your teacher? Do you want to be fully trained by your teacher and be like him? Because when God gave you his heart through his son, you were also given the power to give life to everybody else. All it takes is giving them a gift so good that it turns their attention to the ultimate giver. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing to learn from Christmas, it's that there is no better gift to give than yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we sure do love you. And we thank you so much for giving our lives value when you gave your love through your son. Holy Spirit, we ask that you inspire us to give as good as we get, as you teach us to live and love with your heart in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for paying that infinite price just to inspire our imitation of your selfless and life-saving love. And to that, I hope we can all say, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.